Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Tweet at DriveTimeRTE.
You're welcome back. We spoke with the Education Minister, Norma Foley, earlier in the programme, and she said a total ban on smartphone sales to primary school pupils could be considered if a voluntary agreement does not work. It comes as six mobile phone networks confirmed that they'd back the government's guidelines, which call on parents not to buy smartphones for children in primary schools. Well, to react to the Minister and what she announced today, I'm joined by family psychotherapist Richard Hogan, who's been dealing with the fallout of technology and on our children since 2015. And in his practice, you've heard him previously on this programme. Richard, good to talk to you again.
Hiya, Cormac, how are you?
Not too bad, thanks. What do you make of this plan, can I ask you? First of all, it's a voluntary code, and the Minister says she wants to make childhood smartphone free in Ireland.
Yeah, look, I think, Cormac, anybody working in this field, anybody works with families, anybody, you know, who's working with teenagers, I have a teenager myself rattling around upstairs over my head currently, you know what I mean? Anybody living in a family with children will know that there's a serious problem here with these devices. Once they come into their lives, things change irrevocably. And I suppose delaying the arrival of that device into your child's hand, I think it has to be a positive thing. I don't think primary school is a place for smartphones, but there's a wider issue here as well. You know, there's other devices, there's the iPads, and you know, there's, you know, the kids are accessing endless internet through different avenues, not just the smartphone. Mm-hmm. And you know, and this is not driven by a puritanical desire towards a simpler time. You know, I'm not one of those people who looks back and, you know, and says, oh, the coming generation, they have so little of what we had. That's just a folly, and, you know, always looking back on things, that's mm-hmm. a folly there. But that's not what I'm motivated by. I'm motivated by the kids I've sat with my clinic, the families I've sat with, the work I've done with the guards, all the teenagers I've talked to, all the teenagers I've interviewed.
Yeah.
There's huge problems here, Cormac. There's just no doubt about it.
But can I ask you this, though? Because some people are harping to a simpler time, let's say. We had one parent who said our 12-year-old was diagnosed with anorexia over a year ago. We had six who was ill 6 months prior to that, which means our family's had 2 years of hell. And I wouldn't wish it on any parent. And later on in the text, he says that smartphone and what the child was viewing online had an effect. If they could go back and not bring the smartphone into their lives, they would have done so.
No, and that's a huge, that's such a powerful story that I see, unfortunately, Cormac, a lot in my clinic. And that's the algorithms, you know, that's the stuff that RT looked at in primetime to show what happens when you consume something. It gets fed to you, you know, it's going to promote this material, particularly negative stuff, because that's more sensational, that's more, you know, trafficked, and they understand the psychology of that. That fires dopamine, that gets you interested, that makes you feel something, then you go back and you traffic the same material, particularly if you're low. And that's the problem with these things, Kieran, and that, Cormac, and that's why it's really important that we look at this, because childhood and adolescence, there's a reason why in Homo sapiens it's so protracted, because it's all about learning and adventure and connection and peers and reinforcement. Those parts of the brain are so sensitive during childhood and adolescence to peer reinforcement, to attention. And if you put a device in there, what you're doing, you know, you're cutting off those really normative, really healthy aspects of what a child needs for their maturation, for healthy maturation. And that stuff there, that story, unfortunately, that is not a once-off story with that person. Yeah. Thank you for texting that in. That is such a regular story sitting down in my clinic. Yeah. Because children are so vulnerable at that age, you see, and then they get these videos and they're drenched with this negative stuff about diet, about image, about perfection. It's brutal.
Mm. And you say in your practice since COVID that these things have been supercharged, but you have a 5-point plan.
Yeah.
Can you run me through that, please?
Absolutely, and COVID did supercharge this when we told our kids to stay off school and go up into their devices. There's no doubt about it. What I would say here, Cormac, what we need is this 5-approach plan to it. This isn't going to be a panacea, but at least it's something, because currently what we're looking at is the great experiment perpetrated on our children. The first thing I would say, and I do a lot of work with cybersafe kids, and I think they do great work, and Alex Cooney would always be saying this, and she's very strong in this, that we need better digital literacy for our children. She says it needs to be fourth. And, you know, the literacy and the maths and the writing, all that. She says that digital literacy needs to be a fourth column there in the educational program. And I think she's right, because it's so embedded in their lives, they need to learn better about how to manage it. Mm-hmm. What I would say, and where I come from with this, I say, I think parents need upskilling as a matter of urgency. I sit with so many parents and they feel so outpaced, they don't know what to do. They're, you know, when you have a fear, you close your eyes, you hope it'll go away, and we have to move away from that. I believe we can upskill parents and we can empower them, because I don't think you have to be Bill Gates here to have the skills to manage this. So parents need to be empowered, and that's the second thing, and to get their agency back. I'd also think we have to delay smartphones from going into our children's hands. Because when you say, Cormac, when you say ban, people react very strongly to it.
Yeah.
So the way I always say it is, like, you know, we need to delay the smartphone. I think if we delayed it till confirmation, let's say the end of sixth class, that would be a really win for our children. And we need, and I've been saying this for a long time, we need robust legislation to ensure that these big tech companies are held accountable for the material they send our children. I can't believe I actually have to even say that sentence.
Yeah,
we must stop our children from consuming hardcore, extreme material. That's of a matter of urgency. You know what I mean?
Okay. There's so many things there, right? And that 5-point plan looks really good to me. And if people could even implement some of that, I think they'd be doing really well. Can I ask you something, though, about the plan announced by Norma Foley today? And she says it is progress, she says, to get the major mobile phone networks to sign up to this voluntary agreement not to sell smartphones to children who are under 13. In a way, though, point five of your plan, big tech needs to look at children differently, not as a revenue generator. In a way, should we not be focusing on the social media companies, not just the phone operators? Because the phone operators, in one way, is like the road network. And the social media companies are like the vehicles driving way too fast, way too fast, and the children in the vehicle. Is that not the problem, though?
No, it is. We have to hold the platforms accountable for the service that they provide. And we need that systemic shift that you're saying there, Cormac. We need them to move them away from thinking of our children as current revenue to future revenue. That's the way the banks work. You know, they don't think about an 8-year-old as current revenue. They think about them later down the line as revenue. And that's a really important systemic piece of this puzzle to shift. Because if we say we're cutting out children, you know, big tech is very powerful. It's dwarfing states, and they will revolt against us. But if we get to change a cultural way of looking here, because currently they're mining our children, they're mining their data. They've got millions and millions of users that are underage. Mm. And, you know, if you find them 10 million, Cormac, it's like finding me 5 cents. It means nothing. They put that money aside for these fines because they're making so much money. It's like it's nothing to them. But what we have to do is if they break that, you have to penalize global earnings. Now you start to hurt people and then they start to clean up their act.
Okay. Can I ask you one final question? You said delay the smartphone getting in. And I know you're dealing with reality, right? Maybe I'm trying to get utopia here. But you say delay the smartphone into the hand of the child to at least confirmation, 12, 13, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Even at that age, with the algorithms pumping pornography and violence and self-harm and suicidal ideation into the minds of children, they don't have a hope, do they?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's. I mean, you know, you've heard me speaking about that. I have a petition against it. This is a huge thing, Cormac. Mm. It's something I'm very passionate about because I sit with so many brilliant young teenagers and particularly girls who've been asked for some terrible things in a relationship. And you're kind of sitting there with a 14-year-old girl thinking, how the hell did that boy come to any conclusions about that's intimacy only through consuming hardcore material? So we have to stop that immediately. And you're right. Of course, I would like there to be no smartphones for, you know, maybe it's 14 years of age until their brain is a bit more developed. But I live in the real world. I'm a teenager myself. I'm around teenagers all the time. I just know, you know, you just have to also be in the real world with this thing and understand how they're communicating and how they're interacting with each other. That's to their devices. We just need to make it more healthy. We need parents to have more agency, and we need our government to step in there and bring in legislation.
Okay, look, it's always good to talk to you, I must say.
Thanks,
it's instructive, to say the least. Family therapist Richard Hogan, thank you very much indeed.